time for the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. Serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously.
Week 9 of the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. Nate, you ready for this?
I'm ready. It's gone by fast.
That's right. It's Halloween. And we've got a very special episode on one of the scariest things in the outdoors, and that is people's use of social media.
It is probably the scariest thing in the world right now.
We've ranted a lot about that. So we've got a really special guest with us today, Rob Chapman from Outdoors 360. He's a artist. He is a father.
Website man.
Yeah, he's everything.
He's a jack of all trades, it sounds like.
Rob, welcome to the show and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I appreciate that intro. I've never been told that. But I do a little bit of everything with the outdoors. I started running Outdoors 360 probably 5 or 6 years ago on a sketch pad. And in the last 2 or 3 years, it's really come to life. I consider us the greatest outdoor website on the planet. That's what I tell everybody. It's kind of tongue in cheek, but I like to think we cover everything under the sun in a family-friendly way, in an entertaining way, and in an educational way. So we kind of cover all the bases. Our biggest kind of claim to fame at this point is our social media numbers. So we just hit our second Instagram page over 100,000. So we reach, between our two Instagram pages, about 245,000 people. Personally, about 60,000. So we're about 300,000 on Instagram. And then our Facebook's close to 250,000. So we have a big reach, and we get a lot of numbers, and we get a lot of eyeballs, and we have a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, that's one of the things we like most about you is you guys have a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you got some partnerships with Outdoor 360, like you were saying. Who are some of those that you've partnered with?
We've got some in the industry. Mustad Hooks is our main hook supplier. We use them for everything under the sun. Locally, we have quite a few up here in North Florida, McDuffie Marine. They're kind of a one-stop shop for everything outdoors. Buildings & More and Pro-Built Steel, and they make outdoor buildings, kind of portable metal buildings for storage and sheds. And we also have Lake City Medical Center, where we've been quite often with my daughter and myself between all of our accidents, hunting, fishing, and otherwise. So they're right in our wheelhouse. Additionally, for our sponsors, Bienville Plantation is one of our sponsors that they're actually located here in North Florida.
We've seen, and that's the place where you catch all those big bass.
Yes, they are. I would consider them, and not just because they're a partner, the worldwide leader in big bass. They grow them big. All the celebrities, all the companies, the TV shows come through there. And they say it has something to do with the phosphate pits, that there's just something different in the water. But it's an amazing place. Guys and girls and ladies, everybody comes from all over. And they're actually launching this week or next week, I guess, depending on when this airs, the Party in the Pines, which is going to be the biggest North Florida kind of country music festival. So they're expanding, and we're excited to be a part of that.
Awesome, man. Awesome.
That sounds great.
Since this is our Halloween episode, we're going to put you on the spot. What's the scariest article you've seen come across Outdoors 360?
I'll tell you what, you know, we cover everything under the sun. So you get the viral stories, you get the diehard fishing stories. Probably the scariest one to me, and you may remember it from a couple years ago, were the castaways that I forget how long they were gone. I think they were gone. The one guy was almost gone a year and had to actually – it got a little gruesome. I'll save the details, but just it went castaway – meets Friday the 13th combination platter.
Crossed with the Donner Party.
Yeah, so it was very detailed but very real. And, you know, in terms of detailed and scariest, that was definitely it. But, you know, some of the articles with the solo fishermen that do crazy things, they terrify me as a quote-unquote responsible fisherman, because some of these guys are just absolutely insane. And I enjoy sharing their stuff, and I won't be ever doing it myself. So,
Rob, are you scared of anything? Like, you know, I've got a little bit of a fear of spiders. Do you have any fears like that?
I can tell you, we share a lot. One of our biggest needle movers for our website are spider stories. For whatever reason, they just get the eyeballs from all over. So that from our audience perspective, I would say spiders is number one. I'm terrified. This may sound weird. In terms of the outdoors, I'm more afraid of gators than I am sharks. I do not – well, I shouldn't say that because that would be my famous last words. But in terms of wading, I've never had any issues wading in 4, 5, 6 feet of water and catching sharks and wrestling sharks. But when it comes to a gator, I just feel like it's a whole nother ball game. And I've seen them wading, and I've literally outrun the guys that I'm fishing with to get back on the shore and with no shame at all and leave the fish behind. And so, yeah, I don't like gators too much when I'm out there in the water by myself or with anybody else, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
So the reason we wanted to reach out and bring you on to today's show is we're talking about the don'ts of social media or social media behavior by outdoorsmen. And we felt like Nate is a big time consumer of outdoor social media. So he's an expert there.
Sure.
I'm like, oh, I'm kind of a big deal. I've got 25,000 followers. And we're like,
you are a big deal.
Who do we know that has, you know, a huge following that could speak to some of these social media woes? And so I was like, Rob Chapman, obviously. And with the Red Sox being out of the playoffs, we knew you had some free time.
Ouch. We don't have a manager either. So anybody listening? Terry Francona's free again too. So
that's right. Yeah. They let Farrell go this morning. We've broken this show kind of up into two parts. The first part, we talked about how to social. That's social media behavior. So Nate, you want to take the first one and we'll just kind of go around the room and discuss these a little bit.
Yeah. So the question here is, do we or do we not use hashtags?
Rob, you want to go first? Where are you at on hashtags?
I'm a big believer in hashtags on Instagram. Facebook, I kind of take them, to me, they're more of a joke on there. So I end up using, you know, 4-word hashtags that don't make any sense and are just silly. But on Instagram, they are extremely valuable. You know, anything I tell you tonight's pretty much you can see publicly. So there are secrets and there's algorithms and different things. But what you can see publicly is I tend to use the same keywords in every one of my posts for my hashtags. And so Instagram will go through, search those keywords, and anybody searching for those keywords will actually pull the top pictures within those keywords. So I see a lot of value on Instagram. I see a little value on Twitter. Twitter's really not the best social media for outdoorsmen, but Facebook, like I said, to me, it's more of just for funsies and being silly.
Yep. Facebook's where you share your family pictures. Instagram's where you share your hunting and fishing pictures. I agree with you on that. The one hashtag that I seem to get a lot of traffic on is bikini. But I also get a lot of pushback on that, evidently, from my wife.
Yes.
It glares at me across the...
Well,
no, it's absolutely... I was going to say, the trickiest part of what I do a lot of times is I regram or I share other people's pictures. So I try not to take out their hashtags, and they can get a little crude. So that is actually part of the game, is looking at what they have in there. You know, to be honest, everything we talk about tonight, the key thing to me is looking at those that are successful and what they're doing and looking at their keywords. So absolutely, bikini is one you see all the time. You know what's funny? Harry Potter is one you see all the time in fishing pictures. It's just random stuff that I think people like to try to get at the top. I personally don't like doing that, but you know, whatever it takes to get your audience, there's a lot of accounts out there that do a lot of silly things that pay off.
Are you a hashtag guy?
I don't use hashtags as much or as well as I probably should.
You do it more for the humorous aspect.
Yeah, yeah. If it's funny or relevant, I usually do it. I don't just like throw out hashtags just so I can get to the top, because I don't have enough followers really for that.
Right on. Rob, do you ever catch heat for using too many hashtags in the outdoors industry? Because I know I do. Like, I'm in a couple of like private groups with guides and stuff like that. And
yeah,
they'll throw a lot of shade. Oh, you're one of those new young guns, and all you do is tag people on Instagram, this, that, and the other. And I always roll my eyes at them. I'm like, you don't understand how technology works if you're ignoring them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, you get the pound sign all the time. And that's what my dad says. What do you use the pound sign for? But like I said, that factors into their algorithms. And I'll admit, in the beginning, I thought they were the stupidest thing ever created, hashtags. And you were one of the guys early on, like you said, you're in the mid-20s, and that was something I kind of recognized what you were doing and others and thought, all right, well, what are they doing? It seems to be working, and they're using hashtags. Another guy, Sam Roots, another guy that I look up to in terms of social media and what he does. Cindy, who he works with a lot, they hashtag everything at restaurants and food. And he's told me stories about what worked and what didn't work, and they work. I mean, and people can make fun of it, but ultimately, you know, personally, my audience has grown. I don't know what it was a year, maybe 5,000 or 6,000 a year ago, and now I'm at 65,000.
Yeah.
So it's been a big year, and I think a lot of that's hashtag, a lot of that's quality of content and other things that we'll get into later.
So you talked about reposting Instagram posts. I know something I come across a lot is people using my post without giving credit. What are your feelings on that? I mean, obviously you use an app to do it, Regram or something like that.
Yes.
It's like a huge pet peeve of mine. Like if you're going to use the picture, that's fine. Just make sure you tag somebody in it.
Yes. And a lot of what I'm going to say tonight, I've changed over the last 2 or 3 years and kind of evolved my thoughts on it. In the beginning, I couldn't stand people that use my stuff. Cause I, as you mentioned in the intro, I've done artwork for the last 15 years and my stuff would pop up everywhere and it drove me crazy. The more I realized, you know, actually I'm getting eyeballs. If they give me the credit, it's a good thing. So I started in the beginning with Facebook and Instagram. Every single post I did, I'd reach out to the people first and make sure I had their permission. And it was tedious and it was monotonous, but it paid off and it helped grow our audience because then they'd share kind of from there. So in the beginning, I reached out to everybody. Now I don't have that time. And now what happens a lot of time is people tag us. And so, Right. Yeah, I really believe proper credit is number one. If you do share somebody's image, make sure you track down that proper credit, not only because you can upset them, but you can also get in trouble with big boys at Instagram and go to Instagram jail, which is not a fun place.
So for our single listeners, which Nate is not single, he's the only one that's not married, but he's not single. But for our single listeners, they should reach out to the bikini picture person before they repost it, correct?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. DM, because that'll be the first DM that girl's ever gotten.
That's right. Right. Well, see, what's funny is, you know, we're talking about that on Instagram. I am new to Instagram. I've only been on Instagram about 2 years. I had no idea what I was doing when I first got on there. I didn't know. I thought if you tried to zoom in and then it created a heart, I didn't know what was going on. I was a total cluster on Instagram for the first 4 or 5. I didn't know what a DM was. I didn't know how to find it. So a lot of what I've done is just jumping in head first and making a ton of mistakes and screwing things up and learning from those mistakes. But yeah, if you're a fan of the picture, reach out to them. It's amazing where we're at in today's world where you can reach with the push of a button. Really, you've got a direct line to any celebrity or anybody you're a fan of or anybody on the planet. It's amazing and it's terrifying at the same time.
So speaking of like posting, you know, how much is too much? Is it every day, every hour, every week? Like, what have you found to be kind of the optimum time frame?
That's a loaded question because it's different for to give you guys a little background. Obviously, I have a personal page. I run Outdoors 360, and then I also run pages for several other companies in the outdoor industry. My personal page, I do 3 posts a day. I do one in the morning. That's usually a video. At lunch, I do a picture that I'm a huge fan of. That kind of started with Adrian Gray with IGFA. I was just a huge fan of his work. And when I started getting a bigger audience, I thought, you know, let me share some people that I really like their work and get them some eyeballs. So video in the morning, a picture I'm a fan of at lunch. And then at night, I do kind of a personal picture or a personal fishing picture. So I do 3 a day personally. Outdoors 360 and Outdoors 360 Fishing are 2 other pages. I go every 3 hours, like clockwork. I don't use any apps. It's just all in my head. If I'm at work, I wait till my lunch break or, you know, a proper time to do it. But it's every 3 to 4 hours, 18 hours a day for those pages. So that may be overkill, but they've grown, you know, 6 figures plus from doing that. Now, the other pages that I run, I try to stay around that 3 posts a day. But, you know, it's funny, in our industry, Elliot Sudol or Act Sharks, I don't know if you guys follow him, the guy that catches the big sharks off the beach. I fish with him. He does a post 4 times a week. That's it. He's got I think it's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night or something like that. So everybody has their own rhythm. I've kind of just found that 3 a day works for me. What I like to do, and if anybody listening to this podcast really wants to grow, I kind of look at it like a snowball. Once you see your interactions and your likes and you can start seeing them every 5 seconds, 10 seconds, and you see that number increasing, you know people are always seeing your content. So I like to keep feeding them the content to keep it up on the top of their feed, and then that way more people see it. So I always use a snowball analogy. I haven't heard anyone else use it, but that's kind of the way I look at it. I like to see that constant interaction.
Yeah, it seems to be working for you because you've got a lot of followers.
Let me say what I don't like when it comes to noise is you'll see this guy that goes fishing once a month, and he'll take a picture of every fish on that trip, and then he'll post them all. And so your Instagram feed, when you're scrolling through, because I try to go back, I try to follow everybody that follows and then like, post, and interact with them. Your Instagram feed for like an hour is the same guy over and over and over and over and over with 14.
And they're killing. Yeah. And they're not. They're killing their own interactions because then, like you said, they'll go on 2 weeks with nothing. So if you want to grow, if that's your goal, listening to this podcast, you're listening for fun, that's one thing. But if you're looking to grow, be consistent and spread it out and don't, like you said, don't do 7 posts in an hour because what ultimately you're going to do, you're going to go the other way. So here's your Halloween terrifying story is somebody that posts 10 times in an hour.
Yeah, agreed.
I'm going to unfollow you because I just, even if you're, unless you're having an absolute banner epic fishing trip, I don't need to see 10 an hour from you.
Agreed.
Some other things that kind of go without being said is try to take interesting photos. Try to make sure you're not taking the same picture holding the same fish, like I just said, over and over again. How do you feel about people tagging Outdoors 360, Rob? I know that for me, tagging a brand is a good way to get them eyeballs because a lot of time my followers will click on those tags and go follow those brands. But how do you feel running a major account like that with people tagging O360?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, one of the crazy things is now that we have two pages with the numbers we have is you get inundated. You can't see it all. So, you know, when you get DMs, there's probably 150 unread DMs in both my accounts. I tell people the easiest way for me from the running the page side is to hashtag us, because then I can search the hashtag. And then it's almost like I'm just scrolling through and looking for the best picture. So like you said, Travis, it's the quality of the photo. It's not always necessarily the quality of the fish or the deer or whatever it is. It's a cool photo that I think other people will like. I mean, there's no real magic to it. It's, hey, if this is a cool picture, I think I'd like it, and I think my audience would like it, I'm going to share it.
Yeah, another thing I think when we're talking about taking good photos, make sure you clean it up a little bit. Like if you have a dead animal or you have a fish that you've kept, clean the blood off, kind of get it into a good position. Let's have some respect for the animal a little bit. And that, I think people like to see that more than some, you know, blood-filled back of the truck or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a great point. And what I've learned recently, this is you want a horror story. We were put in Instagram jail on our main page, and it was a picture of a bunch of gar hanging from a thing, and the previous picture of that was a bloodbath with tuna. I know you guys are huge fans of PETA from listening to your previous podcasts. And they, when you start getting the eyeballs that we get, you know, 4 to 5 million eyeballs per week per account, they can come out in force and shut down your page because it is too graphic. So that's a great point, because I've lived it, and that was that's my scariest Halloween. That was the most frustrating 60 days of my Instagram life, was trying to figure out what I had done. And it was ethical, it was legal, but the PETA people, they are diehard, and they have, I think you guys mentioned it too, they'll come after you and they'll threaten your life. And I've had my life, you know, numerous times threatened from a, you know, a gator or this or that. They're crazy. And so that's a part of it.
The good news, Rob, is we actually released PETA. You heard that podcast. We released them.
Yes,
so there
yes.
is no more PETA.
I appreciate
we've
that.
We've done away with them. So yeah. I'm trying to get that to catch on. They haven't contacted me yet, but I'm sure I'll hear from them soon.
It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time.
All right. So the second part of this podcast here is the things that people shouldn't do.
Yeah,
on
the don'ts.
Social media. The don'ts of social media. I mean, we can spend hours and hours and hours talking about all this, but we've highlighted a few here that we think are things that people should just stop doing.
Should we let the guests go first?
We should let the guests go first.
Rob, how do you feel about fish ID posts?
You know, what's funny about fish ID posts is if you're looking to increase interactions, they can work, but they drive me crazy. So if it's a unique perspective of a fish, I'm all for it. If it's clearly a snook in the lateral lines there, you know, it's hard for me to say, because I like to try to bring the average in the beginning fisherman, so I try not to be too much of a jackwagon about that kind of stuff, but a double-edged sword. Is that enough of a hot take? I know you guys like the hot takes. Hot
yeah,
take.
That's perfect.
Yeah, that's great. No, but we saw one of a mangrove snapper the other day.
Yeah.
And it was like, clearly it's a mangrove snapper, and 400 comments later, there's literally every fish ID in the sun is being posted on this thread. And within the first couple of comments, it was a mangrove snapper.
Within the first two comments.
Right.
What I want is a nuclear button. Like for the pages I run and stuff, what I want is a nuclear button where I can press it and just blow it up. Like after the second comment.
Yeah.
I just want to blow everybody else up.
That one's right. Let's kill this thing.
The rest of you, no. Not so much.
Yeah, the fish ID, I get it, but I don't get it. I try not to do it unless it's a crazy picture.
So you're coming and going to duck hunt with me this season over Christmas break.
Yeah, you know, listening to you guys' podcast. So can I give you guys a shout out on your own podcast?
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah. So Cast and Blast Florida, right? Is that right? Did I say that right?
That's right.
All right. So I've listened to all your podcasts, and I've never duck hunted in my life. So I've deer hunted, I've turkey hunted, I've fished. I've never duck hunted. So you guys have given me the bug to try to get out there. And I feel like I'm a little bit smarter just from having listened to your podcast. So I hope you don't mock me too hard.
Yeah. You're actually no smarter from listening to this podcast, but we appreciate the love.
Yeah.
So I'm on a bunch
of... I feel smarter.
There you go. And that's what we're going for. We've tricked you. I'm on a bunch of duck hunting Facebook groups and posts like this. And one of my favorites this time of year is guys will kill a duck and they will post, should I mount this or not?
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of the duck hunting equivalent of the fish ID post.
Yeah.
You kind of just want to, like, you need a hand slap. You can just go across your face and say, dude, mount it or don't mount it. It's your decision. It's going to hang in your living room.
Yeah, you're the one paying for it. So if you are willing to pay the $250 or $300 to mount that thing, go for it, man.
That's a you decision, not a me decision.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Now, look, can I ask you guys a stupid duck question? I've always wondered this, and this may get me booted out of Outdoors 360 groups. When the ducks are flying in, do you know what types of ducks they are and how close do they have to be for you to be able to identify and say, okay, that's our target right there, or don't shoot this one? Do you? How far away are they before you know, okay, I'm loading, I'm shooting?
I can tell species at probably 70 yards, yeah. 60, 70 yards.
Okay.
And we can still whisper at that point. But when I have new hunters in the boat, for me, you're going to shoot these ducks when they get close. Don't worry about which one you shoot. You're going to shoot them when they get close.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of times, well, with ducks, you know, you can kill at least one of anything. You know, if you shoot a duck and ground check and say, oh, that's a pintail, that's my pintail for the day.
Right.
And then you can say, well, if I see another one of these ducks, let's kind of double check before we actually shoot it.
Right.
That way we don't mess up. So.
But it's like anything else. You do it a few times and all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, those are bluebills or those are ringnecks.
Right. Yeah. See that? I'm learning from you guys already.
All right. Sounds good.
I want to go back to the fish ID thread for a second or the duck mount thread. How do you feel about sarcastic answers on there? Because you know that one guy wants to be a smart, you know what, a smart aleck and smack everybody down. And it's a mangrove snapper clearly, and somebody's calling it a Warsaw grouper or a squirrel or whatever.
Right, right.
Or I always love the one, it's a fish. Like, yeah, thanks, Sherlock.
Yeah, appreciate that one.
You know, I'm a little bit sarcastic myself, so that there are times where I laugh at them, but then, you know, if it's too over the top, it really comes down to tone to me. Like you said, I always use the word jack wagon. That's kind of my safe word for those type of people. But if you're too much of a jack wagon, I'm going to delete you. Ultimately, I'm probably going to hide you if you can't stop from, you know, shoving your foot down your throat. So, yeah, I hear you and I feel you on that one. And it's funny one time or two times or, you know, here or there, but not consistently. Some people just, you know, they're trolling.
Oh, yeah.
I know that I get this probably 10 to 15 times a week. So you must get it a million. And if you're buried that deep in DMs, would you promote my brand or shout me out on your social media account? How big of a pet peeve is that for you?
That is probably why I have so many unread DMs. You hit the nail on the head. We get those all the time. On my personal page, it's a little different. I try to answer all those requests, but it is unbelievable. We're not going to do it. I mean, we're trying to get our own brand out there, and we have paid sponsors, and we have other people that we're promoting. I appreciate the effort, but I think a lot of those people too are just drive by kicking tires and they shoot that same message to 150, 200 companies and maybe they get one or two. So I tend to not even have the time to look at them now. That's the hardest part for me is trying to filter what's real and what's not when you get those. The other hard part for me, maybe you can answer this, on Instagram, when they're in a foreign language, I can't copy and paste and get it into a translator. So
yeah.
I apologize to all of our overseas friends and our foreign language friends because I can't understand what you're saying unless I screenshot it and send it to somebody who's bilingual. So
same. And for whatever reason, duck hunting is huge in the Middle East somewhere.
Is it
Pakistan or somewhere? Like I get a ton of DMs and
oh, absolutely. Yep.
I have no idea what they're saying. So I just pretend that
it doesn't help you. There's no translator.
I don't see those.
Another don't post pictures of a picture. Like, we have scanners for a reason. You can scan it to your computer, email it to yourself on your phone, put it on Instagram. Like, these pictures, the quality is terrible. And if you try to crop it, it just kind of looks weird.
Well, we also have if I go to your Instagram account and I want to post yours, I could snap it. And I've got, like, the picture inside with your username at the top and your likes at the bottom of it. Let's not do that anymore.
Yeah, like screenshot it. Like, don't screenshot an Instagram post.
Yeah. How do you feel about that, Rob?
You know, if you were to do such a thing, and I admit back in the day when I was originally doing my Throwback Thursdays, I would take some pictures of pictures. But I think you guys referred to it. You don't be afraid of using the filters. The filters make semi-average women look incredibly beautiful, and they can do the same for guys. So
that's a good point.
Make your fish, you know, you may have a decent fish. That fish all of a sudden can either look like a world record or just look like a beauty, or you can dress up yourself and the fish. So guys, don't be afraid of the filter. I admit I use it quite often. I like to dial up the sharpness. I just think it looks clear. So yeah, if you take a picture of a picture, don't just post it. Filter it up, put some blurred edges, do something to it to, you know, kind of disguise it a little bit, and then you won't be judged so much.
There's a pro tip right there.
Nate, this one's for you.
Okay.
How do you feel about what's best posts or threads? What's the best shotgun? What's the best fishing reel? What's the best taxidermist?
See, here's the thing. Everybody's different. Everybody likes different stuff. You ask 10 different guys what the best shotgun is, or what the best truck is, or what the best bow is, or what the best fishing reel is, you're going to get 10 different answers. So my deal is go try different stuff. Figure out what's best for you, and then buy it. If you like it, buy it. And don't let anybody judge you for it.
But don't go ask social media.
Yeah, don't go ask social media. You're gonna have, it's going to be, you know, 4 days worth of comments and, you know, everybody's bashing each other. Oh, you shoot that, or you use that fishing reel, whatever, blah, you know. It just breeds a lot of negativity.
My favorite is when they're like, oh, my Shimano broke the first time I used it.
Right.
There's one guy in that thread that's going to say, yeah, I had a piece of
every
Shimano
time.
And it was crap. Really, because they sold about 50 billion reels last year, right. And they all seem to work really well.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know who started all that? That's that you can blame BuzzFeed for those top 10 lists. That's
oh my god, true. Yes.
How they got their traffic, and you know that's one of the things we battle with is doing stuff like that to drive traffic. And there's just certain things I can't stomach myself. So I'm with you. I can't stand those. And you know, ultimately, you've already kind of married to what you want. I've used the same rod and reel combo typically, you know, for 5-10 years, and same with guns. I mean, you name it. I don't do a lot of moving off that path. So, you know, beginners is kind of where, you know, when I talk to sponsors, that's where you can really make your mark trying to get them in the industry is the beginners. But us old timers and us, you know, 40-year-olds or whatever we are, well, I guess I'm 38.9 right now, but I'm pretty set in my ways.
Well, and everybody on that thread is going to answer whatever is in their gun box, whatever sunglasses are on their head, whatever reel they use,
exactly.
Whatever shell they shoot. That's the answer they're going to give, right? Because they think they made a good informed decision when they bought theirs.
Yeah. Unless they're you get the minority that's going to scream bloody murder about how bad their product is, but those people scream and complain about everything. So you just
exactly.
filter them out anyway. So yeah, you're going to go with what, and you know, what's happened with all of our industry now, and I think it's the Verizon. Is it Verizon that advertises, or maybe it's Sprint, that, you know, our network's 95% is good. Everything is, the quality now is better than it's ever been in our industry across the board. So there's not a lot of difference between the products and the same price point. So yeah, if you see somebody in there absolutely hammering something, they're generally, I don't know if they got an agenda. I don't know. I'm with you. Too many of those lists and too many opinions and too many people that aren't going to move one way or the other anyways.
But they do generate traffic on your Facebook page.
Yeah. Which they do, and I can't stand it. So, again, you don't see that on our pages. There are no lists.
All right, Nate's going to fight me on this one, I think. But this is my pet peeve. This is one of the last ones on our list. I hate when people post limits every day. In other words, I'm fine with going to catching a limit, fine with going to killing a limit. When you post it day after day after day after day, at some point, I feel like, and this is just my personal conviction, the resource can't sustain the pressure that invites. How do you feel about that, Rob?
I totally agree. You know, the one place, there's one exception, that's Venice, Louisiana, where they just seem to be 10 bajillion redfish and 10 bajillion tuna year round. But I'm with you. I tend to actually not keep a lot of the fish I catch now unless I eat it fresh. But yeah, don't, you're going to lose a lot of followers. Again, if your goal is to increase followers, don't upset 80% of your audience. And then if you get into the fly fishing world, you better release everything. But it's just one of those things. If you get your limit, great. But what I like to try to do then the next picture is if you go out again the second day and you have another limit, well, maybe take a picture of your best fish or get a creative angle like you guys were saying. So, yeah, mix it up. Don't always show the cooler shot. Look for different angles. And you know what's one of the funniest things about what I've seen on my personal Instagram? The biggest fish tend not to get the most action. It's actually like some of the smaller fish and the prettier fish. I hate saying that word prettier being an outdoorsman, but like a baby grouper on my page is going to get 1,500 likes, and a giant grouper may get 800 to 900. So, you know your audience and mix it up and change your picture. Yeah, but don't show limits all the time. Good for you. I hope you're eating all that fish. And if it's legal and ethical, do your thing. But you don't have to put it out there for everybody to see all the time.
Do you want to rebut that?
How do you feel about that? Actually, you're not going to get a lot of pushback from me because okay. I do agree with you. I'm a big conservationist. So if you're – yeah, great. Go catch limits. But – like you said, if you post it every day, you're just inviting a lot of hate to your page. And, you know, people saying, why do you keep catching limits? Why don't you just, you know, throw some back? And then you got the, we can go back to PETA, you know, they're going to be on you. So, you know, I'm all about just sustaining a resource. If you caught 15 fish yesterday, why do you need to keep 15 fish tomorrow?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so you've got plenty of fish to eat and some to give away probably. So, you know, let's be smart about stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a bigger pet peeve for me during duck season, running waterfowl charters, because everybody wants to come kill a limit on a duck hunt.
The limit is the goal.
Right, and no one actually does that day in, day out in Florida. It's just, you can do it in the quota hunt sometimes, but it's really hard to do.
Very hard. You can
limit on a species, but getting a limit of six ducks 69 days in a row, it ain't going to happen. So it just, it drives me a little bit nuts that some people set kind of a false expectation with clients. Anyway, I'll get off that soapbox now.
No, that's a good point, though. The expectation you set for yourself when you do that is all of a sudden any new client you get is going to expect that. And that's what I tell everybody about any fishing or hunting trip they do. The number one goal is come back alive. Don't die. I think you guys even said that yourself. So number one, come back alive. Number two, have fun, and that doesn't always involve a limit. But if you've set that expectation that that's all you show, that's what they're going to expect, and that's your own fault for doing that when they show up and they expect that limit when all you show is limit after limit.
All right, Rob, who is your favorite famous Instagram follow? What's the and you can do two if you want to, but what's your social account that you're like, you got to follow this account?
I love Hurricane Boat Anchors, and I know the guy who runs their page real well. They do the best job of filtering the content, reaching out to the people, making sure it's tagged correctly, they have proper permissions, and it's one quality post after another. So Hurricane Boat Anchors, Sam Root, SC Sam, Black Tip H, and then, a guy that's kind of a wild card for me is Catch 'Em All. I don't know if you guys follow Catch 'Em All Fishing. His name's Zach in real life. He just kind of took off on YouTube. He's a total wild card. He is not a high-end production fishing guy. He's a total goofball, so I tend to like the self-deprecating goofball side of things. And for whatever reason, he moves the needle with all of his content. So that's kind of across the board, because Black Tip H is the highest quality, I think, in our industry for digital media.
And for YouTube and everything else. What about you, Nate? Who's your favorite big name or big names? Like, if we were making a list for this show, who would you say they got to follow?
My favorite big name, especially in the hunting industry, is a page called Get Hushin'. And they're Western guys, so they do a lot of Western hunting stuff. But their quality is on point. Their Instagram stuff is great. They do YouTube as well, and they really, really put out quality content. I really enjoy them. Locally here in Florida, I like Captain Peter Deeks. I think he's out of Jupiter or Melbourne, maybe.
Did you see the tarpon image he posted?
Oh my gosh.
Did you see that, Rob?
Yeah, I shared that a couple weeks ago. It was unbelievable. And what's amazing about Captain Peter Deeks is it seems like he catches the biggest snook, trout, redfish, and tarpon on the planet every time he goes out.
Every single day. He's the exception to that rule I made earlier.
He is. Because
that dude
is
the truth. And have you seen his alligator hunts?
Yes. Yeah. They're all like 14 feet long and from Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park is what I call him. Like every time he posts a picture, it's like this giant dinosaur. He's another avid guy. For me, I'd probably have to go with, I've got a friend that runs an account called Louisiana Wetlands. His name's Hampton Rutland. It's not a Florida account, but it's just the content they produce is outstanding. I mean, it's one of my favorite. I think he's probably 25,000 followers, but he's like you, Rob. He started, I looked one day and I had 25,000 and he had 4,000. And the next day I had 25,005 and he had 24,000. So
it's crazy how that momentum, if I could bottle what that momentum does, it's crazy how it can change.
Who's a lesser known guy that we should be following that maybe doesn't have as many followers? It could be a friend, it could be whatever, but who's a lesser known guy that people should know about that maybe isn't as blown up?
Well, I got two guys that, and I've met them at ICAST and different things, and I love the quality of their work. One is Jay Hodge Productions. I think he's based out of South Carolina, I want to say, but he travels all the time, but the quality of his pictures is just, it's mind blowing.
He's on my list too. He's excellent.
Another one is Graham Talo Outdoors. Just amazing perspective, quality, different angles. Just those two guys to me, both under 10,000. I think they're both probably near 10,000 now, but just different angles, different looks, different lighting. They just look different.
One I'd add to the list from the waterfowl side is a guy, he's out of Fort Myers. His name's Eric Orlando. I think he's got like 300 followers. And I'm telling you, 6 months from now, the guy's going to blow us all out of the water. He takes a lot of pictures of like dogs doing retrieves of ducks. His goal, he says, is to always kill 6 drake ducks on a trip. That's his goal every trip. And I mean, he'll have a beautiful full plume pintail in his lab picking it up, or he does a lot of in-flight photography, and getting a picture of a duck is like getting a picture of a tarpon strike. You get all the little details and the ducks as they're coming into the decoys and stuff. He's outstanding. Fort Myers guy, Florida guy. And I'll get his account name and put that in the show notes. I think it's E. Orlando 2008 or something. It's a real weird name, but the guy is incredible. He does incredible work.
I'll have to check him out.
Yeah, I'll be sharing this as soon as I see that name.
So that's our list of don'ts of social media. I'm sure we missed something or touched on a nerve with somebody. So make sure to let us know in the comments. Email us, particularly if you could email Rob and let him know what he missed so we don't have to feed through those.
He said, yes, directly.
Hi, I'm Lola Chapman.
Hi, I'm Molly Catherine Chapman.
This is this week's 2-Minute Will.
What's your favorite Halloween candy?
Molly, what's your favorite Halloween candy?
My favorite Halloween candy is Whoppers.
My favorite Halloween candy is Milky Way Special Dark. Don't give me none of that Snickers fun size crap. Nobody eats Snickers, but that's what everybody gives out at Halloween. Nate, what's your favorite Halloween candy?
Mine is Reese's, which I consider to be the goat.
Greatest chocolate, of all time.
Chocolate and peanut butter. It's hard to go wrong with it.
I agree. It's strong.
Unless you're allergic to peanuts. Then.
Do you like them cold?
I like them frozen. In the freezer. Like, you put them in the freezer for a couple hours, take them out.
That works for Reese's.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Dude, so you just threw me for a loop with that. You can't freeze a Reese's cup.
Yes, you can.
I'll break your tooth. Rob, what about you? What's your favorite candy?
I'm candy corn all the way. When I see candy corn hit the aisles, I get another extra bounce in my step. And I think I put it on Facebook every single year that when candy corn's in the aisles, I hashtag winning in honor of Charlie Sheen.
Mr. Travis, what's your favorite Halloween costume?
My favorite Halloween costume. I'm not a big Halloween dresser-upper. As a kid, I was probably a cowboy like 12 straight years. As an adult, I actually dressed up as Bowser a couple years ago for Will.
Nice.
And he was Bowser Jr.
That's great.
And it was awesome. It was epic. Lila, what's your favorite Halloween costume?
Probably a dog.
All right, my favorite Halloween costume. I'm like you. I'm not a big dresser-upper. I like the classics. Cowboy, doctor, you know, just like the classic. Maybe a ninja thrown in every now and then.
That's
like
strong.
Yeah, so, you know.
What about you, Rob? Are you a dresser-upper? What's your Halloween costume?
I'm kind of like you. I think I was deprived of this when I was a kid. I don't remember really dressing up as anything, but recently the costumes I'm the biggest fan of are the original that nobody's thought of. They're brand new. And personally, my favorite that I've done was probably Coach America a couple years ago. Where I went as a 1970s PE coach with the old super tight, super high shorts and the knee-high striped socks. And then I went fishing and caught some monster redfish like that. But it was all about America.
Yeah, we're going to need to share that on Instagram as well.
Oh,
That's happening.
Special thanks to Rob Chapman of Outdoors 360 for being our guest this week. Rob's going to take a minute and share some of his sponsors. You can find more information about any of these companies at outdoors360.com.
Well, I'd like to thank our sponsors because without them, we don't exist. So we'll start with McDuffie Marine, Bienville Plantation, Buildings and More, SWC Sports Lodge out of Louisiana, Bienville Plantation's in North Florida. Chick-fil-A has been a great sponsor of ours, you know, not only the quality of food, but the way they interact with the community. First Federal Bank is the official bank of Outdoors 360 from the beginning. Adams Construction, who not only is a big supporter of Outdoors 360, but helped me with my current house. Brown Van Carpet One, another one. They did all the flooring in our house. So a lot of our sponsors are people not only that we recommend, we use personally. Actually, all of our sponsors. Mustad Hooks is the only hook I'll put on everything I throw now. Lake City Medical Center, where my family personally goes about once a year for all of our injuries indoors and outdoors.
You're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. The podcast is the brainchild of Travis Thompson and Nathan Henderson. All production and editing is done by Emily Thompson. Make sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app, leave us a review on iTunes, and follow us on social media at Cast and Blast FL.